Hello, everybody, and welcome to EduMatch. So follow along with us on our YouTube Live at podcast.edumatch.org/tweettalk. And also on Twitter with the hashtag EduMatch. So speaking of EduMatch, did you know that you could be the featured person of the day? There is a little bit of a wait, but don't worry, we are back on. We took a little bit of a hiatus while I wrapped up some graduation stuff. Whoop, whoop. So now that that's over with, then we will be back on with our person of the day. So there'll be a little bit of a wait, but in the meantime, we'll tag you with any kind of matches. And we'll also auto retweet your blog post as long as they have an RSS feed. So today I am super, super excited because as you can see, we have a full panel in front of us, as well as more people who will be joining us in just a moment. But leading the charge today, we have our very own Jennifer Casa Todd, who is going to be talking with some awesome, awesome people that she has featured in her book, Social Leader. So I'm going to pass it over to Jennifer. If you could please introduce yourself.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Or should I call you Dr. Sarah now? Because everyone in the EduMatch family is super, super proud of you. Hi, everyone. My name is Jennifer Casa Todd. I am thrilled to be here to talk about social media and to launch Digital Citizenship Week with the awesome Nancy Watson. It was sort of her idea through the ISTE DigSit PLN to begin with a tweet and talk, and I think it's fabulous. One of the reasons I wrote the book is to inspire courageous conversations about using technology and social media in school, about digital citizenship conversations, digital leadership conversations. And what I do is I bring in examples and stories of teachers who are forging the path and incredible students who are doing this. And so I'm thrilled that some of those teachers and students are here today. And so I would love for you to introduce yourself. We're going to start with Nancy. If you could just tell us a little bit about yourself and your role in the ISTE DigSit PLN.
I am an instructional technology specialist in Plano, which is a suburb of Dallas, Texas. And I am the co-chair of the ISTE Digital Citizenship PLN. And I geek out about all things digital citizenship, which I guess makes me a pretty big nerd.
No, it makes you awesome. Totally awesome, because I think we're all in the same place. Rachel, we'll go with you next. I was so inspired by the work that Rachel does in her digital citizenship course, actually. So Rachel, if you could just tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Rachel Morant, and I'm a teacher at Main Endwell High School, which is just outside Binghamton, New York, on the Pennsylvania border. And I teach a semester-long digital citizenship course, and I'm always looking to try to get my students engaged in activities that not only model digital leadership and connecting beyond our school day and our four walls.
Thank you so much. And thank you for all the work that you do. Lee Castle, I am completely inspired. I featured her more than once in the book, once about the incredible work that she is doing with blogging as pedagogy, both in her own class and then at the district level, as well as the work she's done with the Twitter chat. And so Lee, could you give us a little bit about yourself?
Sure, thank you. I'm so excited to be here. My name is Lee Castle. I am a teaching and learning coach with the Avon-Maitland District School Board, and in that role started hashtag AMDSB Kids Chat, which Jen is so kindly referencing. And that Kids Chat has actually been the springboard for a new chat that Jen is also heavily involved in and leading alongside me and some incredible students. One of those students is actually here tonight, Lindsay, and you'll have a chance to meet her. And that springboard has led to the creation of an Ontario student Twitter chat that we host each and every month, led by students, topics voted for by students, content by students. It's super exciting. I'm also founder and president of the Digital Human Library, which is a not-for-profit organization connecting students with experts around the world to support and further student inquiry via video conference.
Thank you so much for being here, Lee. I'll pass it on to Rob Canone, former student of mine, and I think I feature his work and the work that the incredible work he does with his students most often in the book. So Rob, if you could just say hello and introduce yourself.
Hi everyone, I'm Rob Canone, and the work that I do in my class, you should all know, is inspired by Jen Casa Todd. She's helped me tremendously in the past few years, being a wonderful friend, mentor, teacher, and I've been able to work with Jen alongside her with doing several initiatives in our school board, whether it be training teachers or setting up wonderful chats with great speakers. So I've had the pleasure of working with Jen. Thanks, Jen.
Thanks, Rob. And what I love most about the book is featuring amazing students. So I met Joshua back in EduMatch probably 2.5 years ago through Sarah. And the work that you do is inspiring, Josh. Please tell us about it.
My name is Josh, and I started a nonprofit organization. I'm 16 now. And when I was 7, I started it, and I've been doing work in the community since I was 4.5. And we basically give out food to people in the world, try to inspire kids really make a difference and try to make a global change and teach them that they have the power to help people who are in need. And I go around and speak to kids around the U.S.
Amazing. Thank you, Josh, so much for taking time out of your cousin's birthday party to join us.
No problem.
And
thank
also
you.
Taking time out of her vacation is Dear Liv. So Liv, very inspiring all around. Please tell me.
Hi, I'm Liv, the creator of LivBits.
And
I use social media to share my voice with the world. And LivBits is my social media identity. And each week I make short videos that help me share my thinking from books, life, and the world. My LivBit videos are a little bit of me, Liv, and a little bit of my thinking, Bits. Put that all together and you have LivBits.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Liv. And Lindsay is not actually featured in my book, but if I had a deadline now, certainly the Ontario Twitter Chat Initiative, of which she's a part, would be a part of that. So Lindsay, hello, and can you introduce yourself?
Absolutely. Hi, everyone. I'm Lindsay Keene. I'm a grade 11 student in Clarington, Ontario, and I am currently the student trustee, one of the two student trustees of the Kawartha Pine Ridge District School Board. So I represent around 32,000 students on a daily basis through the work that I do and the work that I bring to the board. So I'm very lucky and fortunate. I'm a big advocate for student involvement in student leadership. So I'm very happy to be here. And thank you to Jen for having me.
Thank you. And with that, I think we'll move into our next question, our first question rather. And so just pop in if you want to answer this. It's more for the educators on the panel. So what is your experience with using social media in the context of learning, aka school? And why do you think some educators are still so reluctant to use social media in the classroom?
Okay, so my students and I use various social media tools, Twitter, YouTube, SoundCloud, to create. And I have them use these tools, and I have students take ownership of the use of these tools. Because I trust in them, and there's much done beforehand to help them. So these tools are used to help engage students, but have them create products in meaningful and purposeful ways. I feel that teachers are also reluctant to use these tools because they may feel as though much of the work behind it is something that falls on their shoulders. So perhaps relinquishing that responsibility and control to students is something that teachers may want to strive to work towards, but I just feel as though many teachers feel like it's something that they have to do and take ownership of. So I think it's all about, as I've tried to do, giving my students that control and responsibility in using these social media tools.
Thank you. And I love what you said about creating meaningful products too. I love that. Lee, would you like to jump in?
Mm-hmm. And I think just to springboard off of what you just said, I think that's also one of our greatest fears as educators. I know working with teachers in my district, their fear is that students are the ones that are using social media. And I think for a lot of them, privacy is the underlying concern. And I spent last year writing a digital citizenship guidebook for my system with a colleague of mine, Lisa Bruce. And that was one piece that we probably spent the most time on. And I think that's one of the pieces too that isn't discussed enough in detail. I think more often than not, educators just shy away from using social media because they want to avoid that whole piece because it could potentially impact one's privacy. And there's so many concerns around what we share and how we share it and who has access to it. But of course, in my opinion, and I think those of you who are on panel would agree that one of the most important things we can do is educate people about the internet, how it works, and how social media channels work, because it's such a powerful, or can be such a powerful platform for teaching and for learning, that to simply not use it for fear of what might happen is, I don't think is the right decision, best decision anyway.
Absolutely, Lee. And I know that in some of the research that I did for the book, I remember Henry Jenkins in Participatory Cultures in a Networked Era talk about how teachers are shutting down meaningful opportunities for kids out of a fear. And so I think we need to really embrace that, have conversations like we're having now, which is amazing, and move on from that because it is part of our reality, isn't it? Is there a student or another teacher perspective? Liv, did you want to say something?
So social media is a way for me to connect with a lot of amazing people. And one of those people is a lady named Panna. And she learned about me from Twitter. And her students make their own bits. And she teaches in Taiwan. And so they give me all this feedback. And I think it's really powerful because classrooms are bigger than four walls and a school.
Jumping off of Liv said, it's kind of classrooms are bigger than four walls, and as we learn, and as I'm a senior now, and as I leave to go into college, you learn, and because of my past experiences too with Dropship starting business, I've always known that communication and talking to people and all that is very, very important, and it's essential in business and in doing work in the community. But also, I think some teachers in some schools, there's not always the they don't allow the flexibility in kind of the classroom and the classwork or what the teachers want to bring in. So sometimes learning is kind of standardized across the board and there's no real flexibility or adjustment that they can make, whether the classroom needs certain things to make it excel or learn new things.
Thank you, Josh. So your experience in terms of the classroom setting then is that you're using social media to reach out in very powerful ways through Joshua's Heart. And then I know the student blogs, et cetera, but it's not quite translating into the classroom. Is that
I would say we use technology, of course, and computers and all that, but social media in particular, I would say there'd be a lack of that or even talking about. I remember they did give us a certain course where they teach us about kind of social media safety and make sure what you post on the internet is safe and knowing that everybody can see it and things like that, but they don't really teach you how you can use social media to market yourself, how you can use it for your business, or really just to sell yourself or share an event, or whether it's spreading kindness or whatever.
Right. Thank you. Lee?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point because I think one of the pieces that's missed is that social media platforms are literacy-rich learning environments. And I think when we often talk about social media, we focus on the technology and the fact that we're on the internet and people can connect with you and find you and learn things about you. And then we get into that conversation about privacy and that's when the fear creeps in, as opposed to focusing on social media platforms as a powerful space to engage kids in conversations about literacy and what it means to be literate in online environments. A tweet is simply a new form of writing with a focus on one of the four purposes. The purposes haven't changed. It's just the context in which we engage in conversation and communicate with each other changes. And I think now, more than ever, learning skills in the classroom setting and in the context of the classroom aren't skills that are just easily duplicated and transferred into a digital learning environment. So being able to learn how to communicate, which is reading and writing, and of course, including media and all of those wonderful, rich opportunities we have to share our thinking using different modes. Doing that in digital context really adds a whole nother layer to a literacy program that is an absolute non-negotiable must-have today.
I just think that what Josh was saying about the emphasis being on the safety and not really oversharing and things like that kind of goes back to the student that you connected with from Texas, Naj, who said, adults are always telling us what not to do, but they don't spend the time showing us what we should do. And I think that's such a big mistake. So that's just been such a great story. And I love sharing how, I met this student one morning and then by the end of that same day, you had kind of connected with her and quoted her in your book. And that's just such a powerful way of showing how social media can really be such a cool thing. So
Yes, and you know what, when I think about the many students that are in the book and the voices who've heard, I just think we also spend a lot of time not recognizing how students are learning and what they're doing outside of school, and I'm so happy to bring some of those forward. So I'm going to roll that into question two, if that's okay.
You're listening to EduMatch.
Thank you so much for listening to the EduMatch podcast. Quick question for you. Have you checked out our website at edumatch.org? If not, you might want to hop on that because we have some tools on there that can help you push your PLN into overdrive. I just want to tell you about one of them today. So if you hover over Get Connected, the very first option is a Person of the Day form. This is where it all began. All you have to do is fill it out. You can put as much or as little information as you want. And we will tweet out this information over a day to our growing network of international educators. In essence, we're using the power of social media to connect you along lines of similar interests. You will also be added to our awesome table of EduMatchers, so definitely check that out on the databases page. Now, I'm gonna keep it real with you. There is a little bit of a wait, but don't worry about that because as we find matches that come up, then we will tag you. In addition, if you have a blog with an RSS feed, then we will tweet that out to our growing network. You never know what's going to happen when you sign up on our Person of the Day form. You just might find that magical connection that'll change everything for you and your students. So sign up today. What do you have to lose? Check us out, edumatch.org, Person of the Day form, one of many, many tools that will push your PLN into overdrive.
Now back to more learning on the EduMatch podcast.
So we have a very prominent stereotype of kids who are only doing, wasting their time on social media. And you students totally dispel that stereotype. So what do you say to adults and your fellow classmates who don't believe that kids can lead today and who say that social media has no purpose beyond distraction? Kind of touched a little bit on this, but who would like to answer that? Maybe some of our students.
So some of the things I think is that kids need trust when they're on social media, because to me, social media is like a global classroom and I can learn so much about the world. And also kids need good role models of digital citizenship beyond celebrities, because sometimes they aren't showing kids the best things.
I love that. And I think you're an exemplary role model for kids. Thank you. And that trust, I think your Twitter account is co-moderated by your mom. So what I think that is important is that when we talk about a caring adult mentor, that certainly an educator can be that as well. Lindsay, go ahead.
First, I'd like to say, wow, so well spoken, Liv. I couldn't agree more. And I think a lot of problems with social media and the use of phones with teenagers is that to an onlooker, you don't really know what people are looking at, what they're using their phones for. There's such a huge stigma. Immediately you see a teenager on their phone and you think, oh, they're saying bad things about other people. They're posting bad pictures, but you don't know, to be honest. You know, you could be doing something like one of the Twitter chats that we do. I could be talking with other students, but people don't really know that. So if you to realize the vast amount of things that people can do, you can really open your eyes to that teenagers being on their phones isn't necessarily a bad thing. And it's just today's way of communicating and making the world a better place.
And thank you so much for bringing up that assumption piece, that sometimes adults do make assumptions. And I know I don't do that anymore. And I certainly talk about that in the book. But I will often say now, so what are you doing? Is it distracting you or is it helping you? And the conversations that have ensued as a result have been incredible. So thank you for that. Josh, did you want to add something?
Yeah, and of course, there are a lot of assumptions, and I totally agree with that. But the potential that you can use social media for greatness and to spread messages around is extreme. It's very exponential in terms of growth and reachability. Like, a lot of people can see it in a very short amount of time. I remember, which is kind of a weird example, but Kanye West, he doesn't have an Instagram, but when he started one, I think he got 1 million followers in the matter of a couple hours. Which, thinking about it, that's a lot of people, and that's a lot of reachability, a lot of access. And teaching kids the right way to do it, posting right things, whether, I mean, you know, you still post, you know, hanging out with your friends, whatever it may be, but, you know, sometimes you can post something inspirational, like certain accounts, things like that. Be wary of who you follow. And it can really, you never know who it's going to impact and how many people can see it.
Thank you so much. Do any of the adults have a comment before we move on to question three?
I'd like to jump in. So my students in the digital citizenship class are going to be hosting a Twitter chat on Friday from 7:45 in the morning until 8:15 in the morning. That's Eastern Standard Time. And about spreading kindness and positivity. And we had just finished our study of haters and trolls. And so we're going to follow that up with trying to break the internet with positivity and kindness this week. And so we're going to be doing a whole bunch of things all week, culminating in a chat on Friday morning. So I would love it if any of you would want to join us. It's the hashtag DigSip. But if you tweet me, I'm at Mrs. Morat. I will surely tag you, and or I can send you the questions ahead of time. They're going to create them tomorrow morning. And I would love it if you could even schedule in some answers to that so that we can just work on how can we spread positivity and kindness? You know, what are some actions people are taking? You know, how can we get more people involved? How can we jump on the positive train? So anything, you know, if anybody wants to join in, we'd love to have you.
And Rachel, that is the perfect segue to the next question, which is how might teachers move beyond showing kids how to be ethical and responsible to showing them that they can make a difference in the world? And I think what you're doing on Friday is exactly that. You're showing students by way of that Twitter chat how they can make a difference and be more a positive influence in the lives of others. Thank you so much. Would anyone else like to answer that question? And it could be a student too. So how might our teachers help us move beyond just existing online as a neutral entity? Being ethical and responsible is super, super important, but how can we show kids they can make a difference too?
I think I'm gonna use my students as an example. Simply by showing positive examples of even organizations or people who are affecting change through their influence, those models and those examples may help students to do the same. So my students, a couple of years ago, they researched non-governmental organizations, and they looked at what these non-governmental organizations were tweeting out. And simply by looking at the positive quotes or the memes or the images that would sort of inspire and evoke change, they themselves, the students, modeled similar tweets and similar memes and photos, and assuming that role that they were like working as a public relations representative. And in doing that, they not only were able to create something meaningful, they shared it with a wider audience, and they also sort of saw themselves in this role, this very positive role of using Twitter to spread photos and quotes of change. So I think that's one way to help, by looking at these positive examples that are out there.
Thank you, Rob. And I think it's important to note that so many of your students, when they go online, one of the things I've noticed just being close to you and following you is that your students, then when they create their own Twitter accounts, are trying to be positive influences on others too. So certainly it's the theory of observational learning that you certainly do what you see. So thank you. Liv, go ahead.
So I focus on having a cause and sharing my passion and even finding out what the kids' passion is. And then I like to connect other kids with people who share the same cause and the passion, because their cause can become your cause too. So I think that's really important to use social media to connect kids to their passions.
Beautifully said, Lee.
I just can't get over how well-spoken you are. And so bright, and so bright. Wow, I can't wait. I am going to follow your stuff and dive in. I am so excited to have met you. You inspire me. So I'm going to move on. I completely agree. And I think having such positive role models and sharing those examples are really important. One of the pieces that I've also started to focus on are the conversations that we as teachers have with each other about what it means to teach self-regulation in the classroom. And I think our definition of self-regulation, I know my definition of self-regulation wasn't what it needed to be. And I wasn't teaching kids, especially now that we have so much technology in our classrooms, what self-regulation is really all about. And there's this quote from Linda B. Nilsen from her article, Creating Self-Regulated Learners, Strategies to Strengthen Student Self-Awareness and Learning Skills. And I just want to share it out. And she writes, study skills really aren't the point. Learning is about one's relationship with oneself and one's ability to exert the effort, self-control, and critical self-assessment necessary to achieve the best possible results, and about overcoming risk aversion, failure, distractions, and sheer laziness in pursuit of real achievement. This is self-regulated learning. This definition has become such a focus for me when I think about what we ask ourselves to do, what we do with technology, and what we ask our students to do with technology. And if we really focus on that last piece there, what is real achievement? What does that mean? And I really like what Liv was saying about finding that passion and also exploring what other people are passionate about, because you too might be drawn into that. And I think that's really important. We need to understand ourselves as learners if we are going to be responsible users of technology, and then move beyond that to use technology and our connections in ways that make a positive difference in the world.
Thank you so much. And certainly passion is one of the big themes. And I know, Joshua, you are doing what you're doing today because you found a passion for helping others. Do you want to talk a little bit about how that has sort of evolved for you? I'm putting you on the spot, sorry.
No problem. But I think I started Josh's Heart, which is my organization, when I was 7 years old, and that's when I incorporated. And I was doing work before that when I was four. And I was I'm really blessed to have found one of my loves in life, which was helping people and giving back, kind of showing kindness and love at an early age. And it's just something that stuck with me. And as I grew up, it kept going on with me. But then I've also found other passions. I've learned other things about myself. I've grown up a lot. And I've just been exploring the world, exploring me. But what happens is that passion, it helps drive you and it helps motivate you. And, you know, Steve Jobs, he said that the people who are really successful in life are the people who really love what they do, because no matter what happens, they can persevere through it. And I think it's really true, because whenever, you know, I see myself in business and starting in entrepreneurship and starting things, I think whatever I'm going to do, I have to have a love for it. I have to love the people around me. I have to love what I'm doing, the product I'm creating. And then if that happens and that works out, I think whatever you do, you'll be successful in.
Stay tuned. Edge of Match will be right back.
Susie Hiley from the EduMatch community, inviting you to participate in the Classroom 2.0 live webinars, which are held most Saturdays at noon Eastern time, mainly throughout the school year, but also into June. We have a variety of wonderful guests, from featured teachers to people who introduce us to new technology tools, new ways of thinking. These webinars last for 1 hour, and they are also archived on the website, which is live.classroom20.com. And the wonderful Peggy George makes an archive and a fabulous live binder with all of the links that are shared in the show. You may get a certificate if you participate live, and you may also request one if you watch the show in this archived version.
We're back.
One quick action item. We'll just go through the whole panel. What's one action item or idea you have for DigSit Week starting this week?
Display kindness in any small way that you can. Small random acts of kindness, those help out in everything, whether it be on social media or be in real life. Just try to help out in any little way, and you can never know how it changes somebody's life.
So have you ever thought about the power of a tweet back? So what I like to do is I like to find someone you know, or someone, or a cause that you love, and tweet them out, and tweet them back, because I'm sure that you all know the feeling of posting and someone tweeting back to you. It feels really good, right? Because the tweet back means heartbeats, and heartbeats means having the best kind of happy. ever.
Thank you, Liv. Great advice. Lee?
I don't know if I can top that. It's hard to follow her every time. My one, I guess, action item is to encourage any teachers and students that are watching this week to get involved in our new Ontario Ed Student Twitter chat. Our whole focus and purpose is to create time and space for students to talk about things that matter to them. So check it out. I love that idea of a retweet. That really does make someone feel so great and valued and appreciated.
Thank you. Lindsay?
I'll have to echo Josh and Liv with that. One of my mottos is to spread positivity, and social media, especially with teenagers, can be such a toxic place depending on the people that are using it and in the environment that you're in. So leave a comment on someone's pictures and tell them something nice, tweet them something beautiful, say something lovely, and also talk about things that you're passionate about and kind of let that spread, you know, let people know about the causes that you're interested in, the things that you want to see to make the world a better place. And that'll just make this rock like soar.
I always say we have the power to change the trajectory of where we're going with social media. And that's exactly how, so well spoken. Do any of the teachers want to jump in with an action item? I know, Nancy, you have like a blog post full of them.
The things that about social media that I love the most are the connections and becoming real life friends with people like you and Sarah and Liv, to me, has been so enriching. So I would just encourage anybody that might be watching to reach out, maybe step out, maybe it's out of your comfort zone, and follow some of the things that are going on in the hashtag DigSit this week for DigSit week. But don't let it stop with just this week. Make that a habit in your life and find out what you can learn from amazing people all over the world, because it's such a gift to be able to connect to people.
Thank you, Nancy.
I just wanted to add one thing to that, kind of segueing what Nancy was just saying, is the fact that one of the things that my kids are going to do is that they're going to come up with, like, you know how it's like hashtag Throwback Thursday? Well, they're going to come up with a hashtag that has to do with kindness, positivity, and the day of the week. And we're going to start doing that, so that we're going to start every single week, doesn't matter, you know, what we're in the middle of doing, that we're going to put some stuff out on social media to continue the positivity and the kindness.
Thank you. And Rob, do you want to add something?
I'm inspired by you all, and thank you for bringing us all together in this way. I think I'm going to, you know, jump on board and connect with Rachel after this conversation, because I'm so inspired by what her students are doing. So thanks for connecting us, Jen.
You're welcome. And so my action item is, please follow the people on this panel, in particular, every student that I talk about in social media. But Joshua, you inspire me. Liv, you inspire me. Lindsay is on a Twitter list of kids that inspire me. I think the more we shine the light on these students who are doing incredible things, the more things will change. So I am so honored and humbled by all of your awesome. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Jen. And thank you to everyone who is on panel. What an awesome discussion. I was just looking at the YouTube live comments, and Susie said that we need an encore. So I definitely would second that, because you all are definitely amazing. So I loved all of the insight that you all shared, and I'm definitely inspired. So for anyone who's watching this right now, or even anyone on panel who wants to extend their learning, we're doing a new initiative with EduMatch with badges, but more so than the badges, also open badges, so you can also see what kind of evidence is in place so that people can learn from one another and see what each other are doing. So let me go ahead and share my screen, but this is our second week of this, so let me see, you might get the matrix. There we go. All right. So if you go to badgelist.com/EduMatch, then you'll see that we have our EduMatch badge list here. And you'll see under the badges, social media is our week this week. Last time was student engagement. So if you want to go back and catch up on that, you can click on that if you want. But click on social media, and that'll show you the challenges for this week. So we have three choices: mild, medium, and spicy. So shout out to Owen Peary for those terms. So for the mild badge, then you can just share three tweets from tonight. And if you're not watching this live, then that's okay. You can still tweet out and then just share your three tweets, and people can learn from you that way. For the medium challenge, then we do have a Flipgrid set up. So if you can just go to this link here, flipgrid.com, the code is 31425C, and just link to your post. So you can either provide a link or just upload your post and people can see what you have to say. And last but not least, we have the spicy challenge. So here, if you want the spicy badge, then what you would do is highlight kids doing great things in your school community through a blog post, video, or other means, and then tweet it out to @DigitPLN, #Digit, and #EduMatch. And those are our three badges for the week. So stopping the vortex. So definitely wanted to thank everybody. And definitely, if you have not yet picked up your copy of Social Leadia, then you definitely want to check that out. And you'll see all of the great things that people on panel are doing and you know, get all kinds of great ideas there. So just wanted to thank you all again, all the panelists, for joining us. Thank you again, Jen, for being such a rock star moderator. Thank you to everyone who was tweeting, YouTubing with us, and everyone who will be doing that later on. And this will be available as an iTunes podcast, as well as a Stitcher podcast and Google Play and a few other places. Probably not too long. I'll probably put it out within the next couple of days. And I know that we have a backlog for other episodes, so wait for it. Those will be coming through. So next week, we will be off once again. But the following week, we will have another special episode featuring Lizette Gutierrez, and we're going to be talking about culture and English learners. So definitely tune in for that. And you can subscribe on iTunes at bit.ly/edumatchpodcast. And if you like us, please leave us a review. We would love those. So everybody, thank you so much. Everyone have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Thank you all.
It's EduMatch. You're at EduMatch. EduMatch. Don't miss EduMatch. Don't miss EduMatch. You're at EduMatch. EduMatch.